are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Now, throughout this week, Pastor Kanimba has been joining us and sharing with us why we should go through, why we do go through hard times, and how those tough times and how our faith helps us to cultivate resilience. And so we're concluding the conversation this morning by talking about faith in action, actually doing something, putting action behind the words that we speak. And we know that resilience is not just about enduring trials, but actively seeking God's guidance to overcome them, right? Faith in action empowers us to rise after every fall, trusting that God is working all things for our good. And so in our conversation with our pastor this morning, we'll be exploring how faith-filled decisions and reliance on God's word can create a life of spiritual and emotional strength. My pastor, good morning. Welcome back once again to the Mid-Morning Empowerment.
Good morning, Sister. How are you?
I'm doing well, Pastor. How are you this morning?
I'm fine.
That's great. That's great. Pastor, we've come to our final conversation on this subject for this week. And it's been an interesting, uplifting, and eye-opening, and very encouraging one to have. And it's interesting to be discussing this. Normally, beginning of the year, we all want to be on a high, we want to be happy. And of course, it is good to know all these promises, but we are being realistic that there are trials and tribulations that we experience and that are coming up this year. So very grateful to have had these conversations with you. Maybe in speaking about faith in action, let's talk about some daily practical things that we can do that can help believers rely on God for strength when we're going through difficult situations.
Okay, daily practical, exercise that can help believers to have faith through resilience. Mm. Yeah, I think if the foundation should be the spiritual discipline, the spiritual side of a Christian. It should be a person who relies much, on prayer. Prayer is essential for every believer, and it should be a daily, as the caption read, daily practice that we should pray for God's reliance, for direction, for our life, for our sustenance. Prayer is seeking for trust, seeking to for direction from God. One scholar said prayer is like capital for our spiritual life, so that we invest in God, so that in every situation we have our investment in God. That's number one. Number two, the best line should be as well, we should have time for Bible study. Most people, even preachers, they do Bible study for preaching, not for their own, but we should have times for Bible study for ourselves. And as well, number three, we should have time for meditation, to think, to meditate on God's promises and word, as well as to have a good fellowship, good choice of friends that inspire us, that keep us to grow in faith. I think these are some of the daily practices that one should do for him to have faith through resilience.
Beautiful. You mentioned there meditation and Bible study. How do you differentiate between those two, Bible study and and meditation?
Sure, they are closely intertwined, interrelated, but they are different.
Okay.
Yeah. Prayer and Bible study is when one engages into mental taxation, reading the word through prayer. You see, they are seemingly intertwined, but yet they are different. But I think when someone is to meditate, is contemplating upon God's promises, the assurance depending with the discipline and context of the subject, revisiting what the Lord has said pertaining the subject, as we are saying, the faith amid challenges, you should go along those lines. What does God say? And this would be an anchor for him in terms of crisis.
All right. Got that. So it's more about, you're not just reading like you're reading a novel. You read the word of God.
Yes.
And you sit with what the word has just told you and allow it to get into your pores so that you can now apply
yes.
it. Got that.
Amen.
Now, how does actively
Amen.
Serving other people, service to community, to family, to other people, how does that contribute to a personal resilience through faith? Is there a connection between those?
Yes, there is a connection between those serving to others and there is a connection. Number one, when we serve to others, mm-hmm. it removes, it generates in us the spirit of selflessness as Christ was. So it's one of the ways that God grooms, refines, and polish us to have a Christ-like character.
Mm.
That's number one. When we serve others, it shifts self. It shifts I. When I is master and king,
yeah.
It shifts I mm. and brings the idea of humility. As we serve to others, there are virtues that we gain,
yeah.
that we are putting others first in our lives. So such a life of putting others first, we lose the issues of accumulation, greed, and the lust. But then God is teaching us to be humble, to live for others.
Mm.
Such virtues help us to have key ingredients of a Christian.
Mm. I'm not sure if it was in conversation with you or another conversation, but still talking about resilience, where there was an emphasis mm-hmm. made on the fact that it's not about us. It's not about us. The things that we go through a lot of times, yes, we're the ones feeling the burden. We're the ones struggling through the things. But when we recognize that mm-hmm. there's a greater cosmic at play, and we are
yes.
the subjects that are just being tossed to and fro. And I think from what you are saying, that resilience helps us to have that focus outside of ourselves. I must not focus on myself, on what I'm going through. Even when it comes to prayer, I've heard people talk about the miracles that they experience simply by praying for other people, not praying for my own situation. I pray for other people, and then all of a sudden I see God fixing my problems, which I had not yet brought to the throne, while I'm praying for other people. So I think from what you're saying, it's kind of re-emphasizing that when we are serving other people, we are focusing not on ourselves, which is a key component to building resilience, by just not make it about ourselves. It's not about me. It's not about my problems and my struggle, as long as God is getting all the glory. So I love that. I love that emphasis.
Amen.
How does
faith... Amen. Yes.
Yes, but sorry, did you have anything to add to that?
Yes. I was saying, yes, it's us with that discussion the day before yesterday
mm.
about the conflict. When we said, 1 Corinthians 4, verse 9, we have been made a spectacle
mm. Mm.
to the whole universe.
Hey.
So we have been exposed. God has made a showcase. So when we serve, when we are in challenges, perhaps our challenges are meant for us and to them. Perhaps
hey.
There are people who are about to learn
mm.
the challenge from us as a lesson to them. So sometimes we are a spectacle to the universe.
Sure.
As Job was a spectacle to the heavenly universe,
yes.
spectacle to the land of Uz, a spectacle to his friends. Perhaps challenges are not for us only,
hey.
But for saving others.
Sure. Powerful. How does faith
yes.
lead us to growth and healing after a major disappointment? How does faith help us to grow in those situations? Because we can't pretend like the life of a Christian has no disappointments. You know, we know that we have setbacks, we have disappointments. How does faith then help us to grow in those situations? Excuse me.
Yeah. If you check the problem that Jesus had with the disciples, even if they were in situations of panic
mm-hmm.
and fear, one thing that he addressed was, where is your faith?
Hey.
At other instances, you'd say, you men of little faith.
Eish.
In other instances, he said, what is needed is just little faith, like a mustard seed.
Mm.
So with how does our faith grow? The table or the analogy that Peter used in his in First Peter in the first chapter, they are tables way of faith. He says, unto faith there is we ate goodness, and upon goodness we ate knowledge, and upon knowledge we ate temperance, and upon temperance we ate patience. And then we add brotherly love. Then we reach to the height of godliness. First, the Revelation 14, verse 12, it says, here is the patience of the saints.
Amen.
Who keep the commandments of God and have the faith. Why did he start with patience and end with faith?
Mm.
Whereas faith is the foundation.
Mm.
So for faith, for our faith to grow, our faith should not be stagnant. But it should go more like a tree of a mustard seed.
Mm.
Faith that has knowledge is the second stage. The faith that has knowledge of the scriptures. Therefore, it is faith that would refer to the Bible promises. What did God say when he's in challenge?
Yeah.
He experiences disappointment.
Yeah.
What does the Bible say?
Yeah.
So the Bible is the referee for his decisions.
Mm, mm.
Upon that faith is to grow to temperance in times of challenges, is able to have harness of making a decision. The grace of saying no to this, right to this, that's the faith that has reached the degree of temperance. And the faith that should go as well so up high to patience, it now has the ability to withstand in times of delay, in times when everything that surrounds us, doubting forces, are right there, when the situation doesn't make sense. Even when we grow, when we pass through the black corridors, gloomy corridors, when there is no ray light of hope, we have the faith that is so up to the degree of patience.
Hey.
So that when we are in disappointing situations, the patience will say, soon it will be over. So it is the faith that is in context of Revelation 14, verse 12, in the last days, it is not only faith that will survive, but the upomone, the patience that will stand, that the endurance, the resilience.
Mm. Powerful, beautiful. I love that. I love that. Then, that's faith. What about forgiveness? Does forgiveness also play a role? And if so, what role does it play in cultivating resilience and peace?
Yeah. Forgiveness is the power to remember the past and forgive. Not to harbor. Yes. So I know why it's a cliche and generic term to say to forgive is divine. But they are different. Before I enter into the question statement that you have given me, there are models of forgiveness.
Okay.
Number one, there is what is known as retributive justice of forgiveness. Number one, where you forgive, but justice is to go.
Right.
That's number one. Number two, there is what is known as reconciliation, where you forgive, depending on the context. You arrive on the same destiny, but you are...
Hello, Pastor. All right, we've been interrupted there. Slight interruption in our conversation. Pastor Kaniba, can you hear me? All right, let's see if we can reestablish that connection. So the pastor is speaking to us about forgiveness and how forgiveness helps us to cultivate resilience and peace and what role it plays. So we spoke about faith just a moment ago and now speaking about forgiveness. So at this moment, he was just giving us some different kinds of forgiveness, if you will, different types of forgiveness. He spoke about retributive forgiveness and reconciliation, and that's where we were when we got interrupted. Pastor, do we have you back?
Yes,
right.
Yes, Sister Sibo. There are models of forgiveness. Number one, retributive forgiveness, where justice is to settle.
Yeah.
That's number two, we have reconciliation, where you forgive. Peace is not the only absence of tension, mm-hmm. but the presence of justice. We settle, mm-hmm. we reconcile, we are together. The past is past. Mm. Number three, one, you can, but one cannot show remorse over the situation. He is not in the intention to say that I've done nothing wrong. Therefore, so modalities of any context depends with forgiveness. Then I'm now coming to your question. How does forgiveness... Yeah, you can come again with your question.
What role does forgiveness play in cultivating resilience and in helping us to find peace?
Good. So forgiveness and resilience and faith go hand in glove. Yeah. Mm-hmm. To be Christ-like, we ought to forgive. Mm-hmm. if we forgive, we have let issues in the hands of God, that God is the one who should be the referee in our own case.
Yeah.
We don't revenge. That's number one. But we seek for God's justice. We seek for God's intervention. We our only situation, no matter the situation and context of life,
uh-huh.
is to be able to let it go. That's faith. Mm-hmm. Waiting for God's time, like David, when Saul came to him, even though he had an advantage over Saul for many occasions, he never did any sinister evil, mm-hmm. but he waited mm-hmm. for God's intervention.
Yeah.
That's forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
That's forgiveness. And his forgiveness was tied to his faith. He didn't know when God settled the matter, mm. but he only trusted in God.
Yeah.
So I believe one is able to forgive is one who has that faith which has reached to the degree of resilience, the faith that has knowledge. So one who can forgive is one who exercises faith in God.
Mm.
You can't forgive. You don't have faith in God. You can't forgive. You don't have the virtue of temperance. You can't forgive. You don't have the virtue of knowledge of the scriptures. You can't.
Sure. Powerful, powerful. And just wrapping up our conversation, but what you're saying right now, again, speaks to not focusing on yourself, not focusing on the harm that has been done to you, or the grievances against you. Again, it's about not focusing on ourselves. So I see that there's a lot of power in just getting my attention off of myself. I see that there's so much power in that. Now, as we conclude, Pastor, how can believers encourage others to build resilience through their own faith journey? Because we know that we are, like you said, we are like a spectacle. We have people watching us that we don't even know about. How do we live our lives in order to create that resilience in other people through their own faith journey?
Okay, how do we live? Can you repeat your question?
The question is, sorry. How can believers encourage others to build resilience through their own or through our own faith journey? How do we encourage others to build resilience?
Yeah, we encourage believers. Number one, the greatest argument for witnessing is living a Christ-like character.
Yes.
This is the greatest. So we should demonstrate the key virtues of a Christian. Now, one scholar said deontological ethics. Number one is duty-based ethics. We should choose what is right, no matter the cost.
Mm.
So that we should compromise, so that even those in the world who don't believe should see how we can be able to be resilient in challenging situations. When people are paying for corruption, we don't.
Mm. Mm.
When there are issues of Sabbath, we don't.
Mm.
Therefore, they should know.
Yeah.
Why do they do? If they answer the why, they should know and be able to make a decision of their lives. Number two, And we need to be able, if as those who are inspiring, we are able to realize that we live in the context of the hot potato issue of the cosmic conflict, we are able to make decisions that we live for the vindication of God's character. Therefore, we are liable to face demonic forces along the way in our Christian life experiences. Therefore, we need to withstand the crisis, making sober decisions as Job did in crisis.
Powerful, powerful. Thank you so much, Pastor. It has been such a blessed week. How would you wrap this all up? Any specific PowerPoints that you want us to take with us from the conversations we've had over the past few days as we close for the week?
Thank you, Sister Sibo. It was such a powerful topic. It has touched my heart of building faith through resilience. Thanks to SID World Radio, your ministry is powerful, even the presenter. May God bless you. But I wanted to say one thing to Christians who are listening. The great controversy is not over, but we are nearing the greatest zenith and the height of cosmic conflict. Sure. More issues of disappointment will come along our way, especially in the last days. We need to exercise greater faith than before, because many issues are coming. There'll be calamities. Many issues will surprise us, but we need to hold on to the faith. Times of that cause much of resilience are now than today, where spiritualism is high, where moral decadence is high, where there are many heartbreaks. We need to keep the faith, never as before. The power of deception used in the days of apostles will be multiplied 10 days in these last days. What more about our prayers?
Amen.
Prayers are much needed, and faith is much needed, but faith that is reached to upomone. But with God, we'll sail through. If we trust God, we'll reach to the shore.
Amen. Amen. God bless you, Pastor. We really appreciate your time. Happy preparation day, and I hope you'll have a blessed Sabbath ahead.
Thank you, Sister Sibo. May God bless you.
Amen.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.